This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Let's us just get into a few things, shall we? Now, some of you probably live in an area where you actually don't have a restricted right to keep and bear arms. And some of you, if you're like me, you probably ride around in your car a lot. And one thing that has to be thought about is what happens if you turn the corner and you run into a gang of youths, a gang of people coming down the road, tire irons in hand, Molotov cocktails in hand. What do you do if all of a sudden you find yourself surrounded in your car and you're carrying a gun? I'm glad you asked. First things first, there is no right or wrong answer to this, actually. Over the past few years, and certainly in the past week or two, there have been a number of protests that have developed into random violence, which is, you know, I don't really know how you figure out if that's going to happen or not. And one of them, one of the tactics they seem to like to do to cause trouble has been to block major highways or arteries and attack cars. And that's usually smashing windows and doors while the vehicle is occupied. Sometimes protesters blocking roads is just a line of people across the street. They're just blocking the road. And it's aggravating, but it's not posing a threat. That's not the problem. The problem is when they are posing a threat, when they're doing more than just blocking the street. And you've probably seen some of the footage from many of the protests nationwide where this is happening. A stationary vehicle in such a situation is a sitting duck. You can't move. And getting out of the vehicle is even more dangerous for obvious reasons. And incidentally, this isn't the only instance in which a person might be faced with one or more persons attacking their car. As your vehicle might be attacked in a road rage incident, which is a completely different response. A completely different response. But, you know, in a road rage incident, somebody might jump out of their car after they've cut you off or blocked you up, and they might have a bat or a crowbar or something. And, you know, they think you've done something to them on the roadway, so they're going to start taking out your headlights. But there is a difference between a nut job in a road rage incident and, you know, civil unrest. And right now, 2020 is the year, the summer of civil unrest. And, what are you supposed to do? Let's talk about what you shouldn't do. Now, during recent protests in Salt Lake City, one Brandon McCormick was driving through an area where active protests were occurring. This coming from the Salt Lake Tribune, he got out of his vehicle, started yelling, "All lives matter," and he started to antagonize the protesters. Then he pulled a compound bow from his vehicle, pointed it around at various directions, and fired an arrow at apparently nothing and or nobody. Ostensibly, that was a warning shot, which with a bow, what's this cat's name now? Brandon. Brandon, with a bow, unless somebody sees you shooting, warning shot, it doesn't mean much of nothing. Now, his vehicle was not being damaged at all, and nor was he in the midst of being assaulted. Well, when he fired his warning shot with his compound bow, the crowd discovered Mr. McCormick, and they beat him up, and they took his bow, and eventually they totaled his car after he was rescued by the police. He claimed he had previously been punched through an open window of his vehicle, but wasn't pointing his bow at the people who did it. And if you want to presume he was telling the truth, they sucker-punched him or punched him after he antagonized them and ran off. So he was now pointing a weapon at people who weren't posing him any serious threat. Now, it's not okay for people to jump somebody in mass or to destroy property, because it's not. But he escalated the situation. And he could have killed somebody for the egregious crime of just being in the immediate vicinity. This is not how you respond. So let's start with the obvious. Trying to find out where you're going and what may be going on there. So don't drive into a hot spot of unrest unless you absolutely have no choice at all. Then, if you do have to drive into the hot spot, try to find a route in to where you're not going to be intersecting with the protesters. A week or two of a longer commute is not going to kill you, and it will let the civil unrest die down. And it also means you're not going to get involved in a gunfight. Now, all of these rules change when you're attacked by a group of people compared to being attacked by the lone nut job. The lone nut job can be fought off. Groups of people have numerical superiority. Now you have the disparity of force that we talk about from time to time. And they often know it. The first thing you have to do is stay calm. Because initially when they run up here on your car, they're not going to be breaching. You can try to avoid escalating by not making eye contact with whomever's beating on your vehicle. And you can try not to antagonize them and don't yell threats about how you're going to do this or that. Dents in your car can be fixed. However, if they start going for the glass, this is at the point where Masada Yub says now you are now in a life-threatening situation. Because if they breach your window, they can reach in, they can pull you out of the car, you'll get glass in your face or whatever. You now have two choices. You can take the opportunity to drive away, or you can go to guns. My first choice would be to take the opportunity to drive away. I'm not gonna jam the throttle. I'm just gonna start moving forward slowly. I'm gonna push them out of the way. If they get under the car, I'm gonna run over them. And then once I'm safely out of the mass, I'm gonna take off. As far as legal concerns, somebody bashing your window in with a skateboard, crowbar, or bat could certainly be taken as a lethal threat. But I'm not a lawyer, nor do I pretend to be one. So don't take this as legal advice. But if there is a demarcation point between mere property damage and when a legitimate threat at someone's person or safety is present, it's if they're trying to go to get through the door or the window rather than just cause property damage, when they're trying to open it up and get to you. And at that point, the threat is real, because they really do mean you harm, as opposed to just harming a tangible object that happens to be in their vicinity. And what rioters pretty much do is trash anything around them, a car, even if it has people in it. That's just a thing to break or damage to make some sort of statement. Now then, if all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you do have to shoot, just go back, Die Hard, when Alan Rickman says, shoot the glass. So, if the threat is real, what you don't want to do is exit the vehicle. And unless your car is from the 50s, the auto glass that's in your car is not going to shatter. It'll just have a hole in it. If you get out of the car, you're going to be swarmed. So, exiting the car can change a possible threat into a real one. And in a situation where you're surrounded by multiple people, you're going to be at a disadvantage. And McCormick was mobbed, and if you get out of your vehicle, that's what can happen to you. While you're driving, if you're going into one of these places, make sure whatever weapons you have are secured on you or in a secure place. During the 1986 Miami FBI shootout, one of the agents lost his primary service revolver in a car crash before the gunfight started. If you keep a car gun or a truck gun, like a carbine or a combat shotgun, make sure it's easily accessible, meaning within reach. And a lot of people keep it either in the trunk or somewhere in the back seat. You probably aren't going to be able to get to it fast enough for that to make a difference. So it's going to be what you have on you that will make the difference. Any gun that's not within immediate reach is actually basically of no use. And that's why the truck gun is a concept that used to sell guns to the sort of people who are looking for another reason to have another gun. And I get it. But don't escalate, antagonize, or threaten anybody. And do not get out of the vehicle, whatever you do. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than FrontSight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from FrontSight's world-class instructors, led by FrontSight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at FrontSight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at FrontSight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FrontSight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. FrontSight, America's gun training destination.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
And welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Now, in his various writings, Colonel Jeff Cooper used to admonish his students and readers to live with their defense gun. This develops familiarity. In this manner, you learn to manage and handle and operate the gun until it becomes a secondary nature to do so. So the focus can be on the threat and not on the mechanics of the defensive tool used to deal with the threat. One of the problems today that I see, especially with law enforcement, is that that is not something they do. One of the reasons that Glock, for example, is used by 70% of law enforcement at this particular point is because it does not have certain things in the way to get the gun into the game, like a safety. Now, I'm not a big one about having a safety on a gun, to be honest with you, but at the same time, that's why that gun was developed, because certain people understood that there would be certain people that could not become so familiar with one gun to where it became a secondary nature. So with a Glock, one of the beauties of a Glock, or any striker-fired gun for that matter, Sig P320, any of the Walthers, the CZ P10 series, any of those, is that they don't have, it's the same thing as picking up a revolver, except you have anywhere from 3 to 4 times as much ammo in the gun. So it's just, you know, you can then focus on the threat without having to worry about certain mechanical things in the way. Now, there was a guy named Elmer Keith. He was a great gun writer of another era. And he settled on the N-frame revolver in .44 caliber. First the Special, and then he went to the Magnum. And he used his 6-gun to take game for personal defense, and he used the same 6-gun for plinking and impromptu turkey shoots. So, in short, that .44 Magnum, he lived with that. And it was the main reason that he was so good with it. That, you know, he just became, it's like Martin Riggs in Lethal Weapon, when he's asked, do you sleep with that? He said, if I slept, I would. Then there was an old Texas Ranger named Jim Nance. Whenever he visited the various police and sheriff's departments in his district, they went out for coffee. So Mr. Nance would suggest that they stop by the range or out in the country for a little friendly shooting match, see who's going to pay for the pie and the coffee. Mr. Nance believed if you were going to carry a gun, then you ought to shoot it, and shoot it a lot. Now, today when we think about defensive handgun training, we nearly always think of formal training and then practicing whatever drills we might have learned. We tend to forget about the various opportunities we might have for informal practice, and these days, very few of us take every opportunity to shoot our defense gun to see if it's just possible to wear the thing out. And while a person will rarely, if ever, wear a good gun out, they're certainly on the road to becoming a good shot. So, you know, if you're out and about, you know, just plinking at a target or some informal target match or maybe handgun hunting, all of that can be as important as the formal training that we might get from the experts, from the instructors. And when done correctly, it enhances the good training that we get from that expert. And regardless of how informal the shooting session might be, you still have to put safety first and work on the basics of good marksmanship. With that in mind, it's amazing how quickly you can improve while simply just having fun with your gun. I switch between two types of carry guns. I either carry a single-action trigger gun, which is a 1911 pattern, or a striker fire gun. And of the striker fire guns, the big difference between the striker fire guns that I carry is the grip angle. When I'm carrying the single fire gun, well, that gun is, I really have a mechanical advantage. So, that part of it comes into play, and I have full confidence that with that weapon, if I bring it into play, that I am going to hit whatever I'm aiming at with that gun. That gun is so dialed in. It's a Chambers Custom, fat, pretty hot, and tasty WMG, which stands for Working Man's Gun, in the compact configuration. So it's a 20-round pistol that's the size of a commander size 1911. It's actually referred to as a 2019. With that gun, if I actually think I'm going to be in any sort of a thing, that would be the gun that goes out the door with me. As I say this today. And I'm very familiar with it. But since I've been carrying it, I haven't gotten into any blazing gunfights. I do use it to shoot a bunch of steel targets and paper targets. I don't live in a place where I have to worry about wildlife getting in my way, but if I did, I would take it. It has a optic on it, and the optic is zeroed exactly to where it needs to be, and the optic has the interchangeable reticle, so I'm using one that's like a circle with some tick marks on top and sides, and that way, whatever I cover that with, they're going to be in the middle of that circle, and I know I'm going to be hitting them. I know I'm going to be hitting them. So, all of these things that I do with this gun and with the striker fire guns. With the striker fire guns, I've learned, for example, that I have a tendency, like say with the Glock, I have a tendency with the older triggers, the fourth generation back, to not be very good with it. But with the fifth gen, I'm much better. So I'm much more comfortable with the fifth gen. But that actually got me to the point where I would take it out to the range and shoot it. I don't have an occasion where I'm going to be going out there saying, "Hey, lawman, do you want to go out and have some pie and coffee? Well, let's go shoot these rocks over here and see who gets to pay for the pie and the coffee." I don't have people like that, and I don't have anywhere where I could go do something like that. But I do have a friend that has a private range. And we'll get up there and we'll have a mad minute where, you know, we're going to dump the mag as fast as we can and hit the target. Or we'll do something like where we've got to go, you know, left target, middle target, right target, and back and forth until the gun is empty, and we'll be timing that. And we'll just make up little impromptu games. I'm not a competitive shooter, so I don't have that kind of stuff. So, a smart person will take their gun out and live with it, and learn all the little idiosyncrasies about it, and, shoot all kinds of targets, at all kinds of different ranges. That's the next thing I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be working really on really tight accuracy, which I'll get out of the chambers gun. I'm not worried about getting it out of the chambers gun. But just a thought, you know, a smart person will shoot their gun every chance they get. They will learn to live with their defensive handgun pick. And that will make a big difference if you actually have to ever pull it and use it. And that's where everything winds down. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Are you ready for that? Can you handle that when it comes up? That's the main question. And by learning to live with it, you will answer that. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American made to the highest standard.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
With major coronavirus spikes in Florida and Texas, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has now ordered all the bars in his state, as well as Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, ordering his bars closed for the second time with a record resurgence in new coronavirus cases following reopenings last month. In addition to the bar closures, Abbott, a Republican, said that restaurants will be required to back up to 50% capacity, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick talks about the step back.
Our people of Texas, they expect us to protect their life and also to protect their liberty, protect their freedom, and protect their businesses and their jobs. And that's a tough balancing act, and that takes calm leadership that's optimistic, that's based on data, and moving forward. So we're still moving forward with a slight pause. We were ahead of everyone else, and we're going to watch these numbers. But going back to a lockdown, that would have to be something catastrophic, and we don't see that in the future.
This is USA Radio News. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed into law a landmark hate crimes bill passed by state legislature earlier this week. The new law mandates enhanced sentencing for defendants convicted of targeting a victim because of their actual or perceived race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender, mental disability, or physical disability. This would mean additional prison time or fines on top of sentences for the type of crime for which the defendant was convicted, such as assault, manslaughter, or murder. A federal appeals court ruled that the Trump administration acted unlawfully when it transferred $2.5 billion in military construction projects to build parts of the wall at the southern border, a blow to the administration's efforts to fulfill President Trump's signature 2016 campaign promise. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 that the administration illegally went around Congress in reappropriating the funds. It ruled on a suit brought by a coalition of border states, including California and other environmental groups. This is USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
This is Gun Owners News Hour. The reason I'm on this particular tack today is that I believe that we're coming, and this bugs me. This makes me angry. I believe we're coming to this point to where we're going to see some stuff happen that we really don't want to see happen. And these are things you need to be thinking about. I think right now we're in a glide path to November when this election comes up. And I think we're going to see all kinds of rioting, no matter who wins, but especially if Trump wins, which I think Trump's just going to wipe the floor with Biden. So, but I think, you know, Antifa feels their oats because they've been allowed to operate with impunity up to this point. And I think until they get squashed, well, I don't think they're going to go away. Now, when you're talking about a weapon you're going to carry, there's two kinds of things that come into play. Now, I was just talking about a mechanical advantage. And there's a difference between an actual mechanical advantage and a problem of training. And that's that the former actually enables you to perform a task faster or easier in all instances because of the design of something, as opposed to you just being lazy and not putting in the practice time like you're supposed to. And this is a big thing when it comes to a gun. And as a bevy of devices and firearms designs are denigrated by gun owners and shooters for various reasons, and the aftermarket industry comes up with various solutions to problems, they really only exist for people who are lazy. And why would we even talk about this? Well, because a whole lot of people spend a whole lot of money every year on various gadgets, new guns, and every other gear in the belief that they're getting the former, when in reality, they're compensating for the latter. I know a guy named Tiger McGee. He runs a place called Shoot Right Academy. I think he's in Alabama. He carries the same Series 70 Colt 1911 that he bought back in the 70s, I think. Of course, he lives with it, and he is trained with it to the degree to where he's quite the dangerous guy. And I do, you know, I like mechanical advantages, and I get real mechanical advantages, but he's so comfortable with that. Clint Smith, Thunder Ranch, he's the same kind of way. So it behooves you to know whether that new type of holster or pistol is what you have is going to give you any sort of an advantage, or if you're cheating yourself, if you could train yourself to actually use something that you have. Now, a lot of people over the years, one of the reasons we've gotten away from 1911s, even though now people are coming back to them, one of the reasons we got away from that kind of gun is that it was considered to be slower to get into that first shot because of the manual safety, as well as any pistol that comes with a safety. Think of, I mean, CZs have them, SIGs have them, certain models have them. So deactivating the safety takes extra time or will otherwise get in the way of something to that effect. When you're drawing the gun, of course, when you get the gun where the muzzle's away from you, safety can come off. Keep your finger on the frame, stick it out there, boom, first shot going downrange. It's not that hard to figure out how to do this, but it does take practice. Now, if you were to look at a competitive shooter like Mike Sieglander and see him run a 1911, you would see a guy that is blisteringly quick. And when he draws his weapon, if you time him, it takes just over a second from concealment to the first shot on target. And, yes, Mr. Sieglander is a veteran of the armed forces. He served in law enforcement. He's won national and international shooting championships. He's that fast not because of the things he's done, because of the practice he's put in, the amount of repetitions he's put into this. That pays. Can the average person get that fast? Probably not. But the point here is that not having a manual safety isn't really the mechanical advantage that some attest that it is if the shooter is putting in the practice time. With what I do, I get so many guns sent my way. I'm going to pick up one today. I get so many guns picked up, sent my way to shoot, film, evaluate, whatever it is. I really don't get a chance to live with the gun, so I've had to learn how to live with different types of guns. But consequently, I don't spend a lot of time on one particular platform, so I don't get that many reps in with one particular platform. But I can tell you that a manual safety on a gun is not a mechanical disadvantage. Okay? Now, there are examples of actual mechanical advantage when it comes to gun stuff, meaning that you really are better enabled to perform a particular task. Let's start with revolvers. Revolvers used to have a loading gate. You know, you pop it open and just spin the cylinder. And then they came out with the swing-out cylinder design, which enabled faster unloading and reloading. The worst M1 Garand operator is still going to be faster than the fastest man during the Mad Minute with a Lee Enfield rifle. So, in the case of 1911s, for example, the mechanical advantage that I find with 1911s is fitting and capacity. Clint Smith, Tiger McGee, they carry single stacks, and they are comfortable with those. And comfort with a weapon, you know, confidence in your platform is also an advantage. I myself am comfortable with a double stack. I have 20 rounds, so every time that... And listen, I don't want to face Clint Smith. I don't want to face Tiger McGee or any of these people that carry that one gun. And they just love it. And, you know. But every time, they're going to have to reload 2.5 times to my one magazine with a single stack. And in a, for example, in a riot situation, if you're trying to find a way to get out of there, well, you know, ammo is going to be a main consideration. Carrying I can carry two spare magazines, and I've got 60 rounds of ammo versus two magazines with a single stack is 24, to give you some sort of a, or 30 in 9mm. So, then there's rifles, and that the old AR versus the AK. And it's sort of a trip into the weeds, but it's a great example of a mechanical advantage, and it's purely from the design. Now, the AK is arguably a more robust platform. It can take more stuff. But Then there's the reloading procedure. While you're shooting the gun, the AK, if the gun has ammo, I would say the AK is a more robust platform. If it can, if it's Accurizer, somebody like Jim Fuller, if he builds it, okay, you got my attention. But the difference is in the reload. With the AK, you have a switch that you have to activate, which is going to let you rock the magazine forward. Most AKs are always operating from a closed bolt, so you're going to have to put the new magazine in and pull the bolt back and let it go forward, and then you can shoot. Whereas with the AR-15, you're not having to use one hand to do all these things. With the AR-15, you drop the magazine, stick in another magazine, and push the release with your thumb, and then you can put your hand right on the magwell, and you're going to be able to do it twice as fast. Be back in the gunfight twice as fast. So that is an advantage, that is an example of a mechanical advantage. Now, somebody that puts in the reps with an AK-47 is a pretty dangerous. Go look at Polinar Tactical on YouTube. Go look at that. But even if you look at their best guy, who's fast, he can do a reload and get a shot off with a crink, which is an AK derivative, in less than 3 seconds. And that's impressive. But he can reload his AR fast, twice as fast, even with all the reps he does. Now, what he does with his crink is perfectly acceptable and would work in a gunfight. He would be very lethal in a gunfight. But when you're out there talking about advantage and you're hearing people say this or that or the other, just remember this. Practice and living with your gun trumps everything, wins everything, overcomes everything. And that's just a simple fact. But there is such a thing as a mechanical advantage. Just understand the difference between mechanical advantage and practice. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Bill Frady here. In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For my personal protection, I recommend training at FrontSight, the world's premier firearms training facility, located near Las Vegas, Nevada. And due to our relationship with FrontSight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, I've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. Enter frontsight.com/radio into your computer browser to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/radio. After your first course at FrontSight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population. Guaranteed. Nobody does it better than FrontSight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. See you at FrontSight.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus.
That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our one-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
It's the whole thing about reps, isn't it? I tell you, we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load and Last Segment, and that's just because that's the whole thing about reps, as I was saying. It becomes second nature, but this is not Lock and Load. This is Gun Owners News Hour, so let's have one more chat before we kick this weekend off correctly. For those of you who can, I'm sure some of you are going to have to put on some masks. If I want to go certain places, I'm going to have to put on some masks. And this is an interesting thing because the whole mask thing is, you know, that's open for debate as well. But anyway, let's talk about something. A lot of you are going to be surrounded by people who are willing to roll over, okay? John Wayne once said in a movie, "This life's hard, but it's even harder if you're stupid." And that's the truest phrase you're ever going to hear. Like, residents in a ultra-liberal leftist gun-eschewing enclave of Minneapolis known as Powderhorn Park, have treated themselves to living that, quote, firsthand, because a horde of homeless people displaced by the rioting have decided to set up a tent camp in the neighborhood. So now in their beautiful little neighborhood, which, from what I've read, is quite nice, you now have some drug dealing and some armed robbery and some overdoses and all manner of other criminal behavior at all hours among their new neighbors. And the residents there have pledged not to dial 911. So instead of calling the police, they've instead delivered meals to the squatters. And they've also kept their white privilege in check by encouraging the city to back off evicting the vagrants. For the ultra-leftist residents of the area where the biggest day of the year has been May Day, they don't want to exert their white privilege to restore peace and tranquility and safety, not to mention sanitation to their area, because someone's feelings might get hurt in the process. I'm not making this up. It gets better. Sherry Albers, one of the residents profiled in the New York Times piece there, admits the unruly mob right outside her house keeps her up at night. Does she have a gun in her home for self-defense? No. That would make her one of those redneck gun nuts. And we get this from the Times description of the situation. When Sherry Albers moved 3 decades ago into Powderhorn Park, a tree-lined Minneapolis neighborhood known as a haven to leftist activists and bohemian artists like herself, she went to work sprucing it up. She became a block club leader, organizing her mostly white neighbors to bring in playgrounds and help tackle long-standing issues with crime. On many nights, she banged on the car windows of men who'd come to solicit prostitutes outside her door, she said. She kept meticulous notes when dozens of men would gather in a circle of gang meetings in the park across from her house. After each episode, she called the police. Now, Times have changed. After the death of George Floyd at the hands of police, Ms. Albers, who is white, and many of her progressive neighbors, have vowed to avoid calling law enforcement into their community. Doing so, they believed, would add to the pain that black residents of Minneapolis were feeling and could put them in danger. Already that commitment is being challenged. 2 weeks ago, dozens of multicolored tents appeared in the neighborhood park. They were brought by homeless people who were displaced during the unrest that gripped the city. The multiracial group of roughly 300 new residents seems to grow larger and more entrenched every day. They do laundry and listen to music and strategize about how to find permanent housing. Some are hampered by mental illness, addiction, or both. Their presence has drawn heavy car traffic into the neighborhood, some from drug dealers. At least two residents have overdosed in the encampment and been taken away in ambulances. The influx of outsiders has kept Ms. Albers awake at night. Though it is unlikely to happen, she has had visions of people from the tent city forcing their way into her home. She imagines she can use a baseball bat to defend herself. Not being able to call the police, as she has done for decades, has shaken her. You don't say. See, and right now, if you look at Seattle, Seattle has been the way they are for a very long time. They did a study in Seattle, and a guy went out there, and he just pulled some stats, and he pulled 100 names off of the police blotters, and then he looked at these 100 names. He didn't do it in any particular order. He just said, number one, number 100, and he pulled that list down, and he went through it. Of that 100 names that he had on there, 100 people, 3,600 crimes. That means these people committed an average of 36 crimes. Of these people that on this list, 100% of them, homeless. Of these people on this list, 100% of them, drug abusers. Of these people on this list, 50% of them had been examined. Half of them had actually been examined and found to have mental health issues, which I don't know what that means for the other 50%. But this has been going on in Seattle for decades. This has been going on in Minneapolis for a while, too. So here we have somebody who has refused to actually live in a world of reality like Ms. Albers. You know, there's another woman in the neighborhood who no longer walks her dog in her own neighborhood because of the cat calls and the other harassment. Another one refuses to let their kids play near the park where the homeless have set up camp. Carry nightshade. I'm not being judgmental. As she was explaining that she no longer felt comfortable letting her children, 12 and 9, play in the park by themselves. It's not personal. It's just not safe. So what are they going to do if a resident at some point in this is actually threatened? They don't own weapons, and they don't want to turn to law enforcement. So they resolved to call the American Indian Movement, a national organization created in 1968 to address Native American grievances like police brutality, which had been policing its own community locally for years. Glenn Reynolds wrote, "It would take a heart of stone not to laugh at these leftists who welcomed their new squatter neighbors." Ms. Albers, she might be able to sleep better knowing that once the city council completes the defunding of the police department, she'll be able to call in community social service workers to deal with the drugs and the crimes that have moved into her neighborhood. But she said, "I am afraid. I know my neighbors are around, but I'm not feeling grounded in my city at all. Anything could happen." Or maybe Ms. Albers should consult her daughter, who attributes all the criminal activity by the squatters to symptoms of systemic oppression, and thus doesn't blame the individuals who commit it. This is the first thing. In order to be an activist, you have to be active, right? So one thing I learned a long time ago, and I mean, this show that I do now used to be run by a gentleman named Larry Pratt, who was a staunch Second Amendment advocate, and for decades, he was a staunch Second Amendment advocate, and you would see him on TV and everything else. But he told me one thing one time when we started this business of show, because he had this radio show and I had mine. I had Lock and Load, and he said, in order for you to be out there and be effective, you got to pay the rent. You got to be able to pay the rent. So you have to be able to sustain whatever it is you're doing. Now, Ms. Albers, if she wants to make a difference in the world and she wants to make a change in the world, she's going to have to be alive to do that. What happens if one of these squatters comes in on her and her daughter, who thinks the activity by the squatters as symptoms of systemic oppression, what if they come in there and decide to not oppress but assault them? Are they going to feel good as they're taking that beating, if that's all they get? What's the guarantee they're only going to get a beating? What if they get sexually assaulted? What if they get killed? What if they get strangled, you know, with a you know, an extension cord after they're done being ravaged? How do you then make the world a better place if you allow yourself to be murdered simply because of a belief that is based upon feelings? My beliefs are based upon reality. I love my fellow man unless he doesn't love me back. And then I'm willing to let him live and let live unless he tries to make me die. And then if he tries to make me die, well, then I'm going to probably try to make him die back. And hopefully I'm better prepared because I have one, mechanical advantage. Two, I live with my weapon. And three, I know the difference between the two. And four, I look at these things and all I see is leftism. And this is what they want for the entire country. This is why they're pulling down the statues. Take away your heroes. This is why they're, you know, the Dixie Chicks are now the Chicks. Lady Antebellum is Lady A. Political correctness kills. It stifles. Giving into it just makes you unhappy. And both Lady Antebellum and the Dixie Chicks are getting torn. They're still getting torn asunder. Because now they're saying, well, you had this for so long. Didn't you know it was bad? Couldn't you tell it was bad? So, these are things I take into consideration every day when I'm thinking about what I do. And as I'm going about my day, when I get ready to go out, if I, you know, I'm packing my mask, I'm packing my gun, I'm packing enough spare ammo to make a difference, and I'm keeping my eyes up off of my phone, and I'm staying aware. No intention to hurt anybody, but preparation anyway. Back again next week. Keep your eyes open, heads up, stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.